I'll do some stand-up comedy. Abe will do some preaching. Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Well, with that great verse, Romans 1:16, we welcome you to today's edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper, and you're listening to the American Family Radio Network, and you've tuned in on a good day for a couple of reasons, I would say. One, we just started the book of Romans, and there's just so much great content there, and it's a great time to begin looking at just one of the most significant biblical books, the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians at Rome. But also, on Tuesdays, we tend to emphasize prayer, don't we, Bert? And we have, for a number of months, begun to use Tuesdays to really unite our hearts in prayer to the Lord, and today is no exception. So it's a great day for exploring the Word.
It is, and I want to just tell you, the response to our prayer day on Tuesday has been tremendous. People calling in, finding it on Facebook. People are sending their prayer requests in at Facebook. We're going to read some of those today in the last segment. People that have come by and visited from out of town, and they're visiting our headquarters here in Tupelo, and they'll stop and they say, I just want to tell you, we love prayer day on Tuesday. So we're going to continue doing that, and we thank God for that. So Alex, today you've already read verse 16, and that's where we start. And I just want to say, Paul, when he said, I am not ashamed, it's a bigger statement than saying, oh, I'm not ashamed. No, it's a declaration that he's making right into, again, as I said yesterday, right into the church in Rome, the pinnacle, the height of wisdom and, you know, authority. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who was a Jew, and they were despised mainly by the Roman citizens, and they were looked down upon. And it's the power of God, and Rome was professing themselves to be the greatest power on earth. And so Paul right there declares how great it is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That was true then, and in 2025, Alex, it is still true. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is an amazing, amazing power that God has given that mankind can be saved from the very penalty of sin. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen. Amen. You know, yesterday in beginning this study, we talked about the significance of the book of Romans and how throughout history, God has used this book in many a revival and a great awakening. Now, in Romans, and this is part of why this is so relevant for our times, yes, there is the promise of salvation, but there's also the warning of sin. And Bert, we pretty much got in chapter 1, Paul, you know, he told the Christians there that I want to come see you as much as is in me. I'm ready to preach the gospel, not ashamed of the gospel. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, and he's going to quote Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. In other words, we're made right in the eyes of God. We are justified before God through faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in what Jesus did. Trusting the finished work of Calvary, not any merit that I could do or bring to the table. But Bert, I believe in verse 18, we sort of begin to change gears. And it's very significant. And folks, I'm just going to say this, and Bert, I would like your response. I truly believe Romans 1:18 through Romans 2:29
yes.
is some of the most important words ever written in human history. And absolutely, I think it's some of the most critical, significant words that we could hear today in the 21st century. And I got to tell you, if ungodly people could make the scripture illegal, I think the first passage they would ban is Romans 1:18 and following.
I would agree. Now, let me just hit one or two highlights here, and then we'll come back and go through it more thoroughly. And we're going to cover this pretty thoroughly. We're not going to just scan over it. We're going to look at it. But look at the last part of verse 20. So they are without excuse. Mm. That's it. No excuses. No excuses accepted when you stand before God and you have not gotten right with God. The other thing that I would say, and it's repeated again. By the way, it's repeated similar in chapter 2, verse 1, when it says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man. In other words, there's no excuse, and he shares that and lays it out. The other phrase is in verse 24, and you'll hear it given, gave them up, verse 26, gave them up, in verse 28, gave them over, and finally in verse 29, being filled with unrighteousness, and you can look at the rest of it. So what Paul does here, Alex, in such a significant way, he shows what you just said about sin, the result of sin, and there's no excuse for man remaining in his sin. God does not save a person to keep on sinning. He saves a person to deliver them. And so here we want to jump in to see the cost. And I would say this, and I'll throw it back to you. The cost of sin is severe, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is for a lot of reasons. I mean, the cost of sin. What do you lose if you give your life to sin? Well, heaven. You lose so many opportunities. Sin has consequences on earth and in eternity. And of course, the worst of all is hell. But here's something else that sin brings to the table. The wrath of God, W-R-A-T-H, the anger, the punishment, the fury. Bert, I was reading some old creedal statement from a long time ago, and I'm sure many people have heard this. And it was a great doctrinal statement, and it said that we as fallen sinners, apart from Christ, unless we're saved, are deserving of God's just displeasure. Now, I remember hearing that when I was kind of young, and I was thinking, wow, okay, whatever God has, it's powerful, and I want God's favor, not his displeasure. I want God's blessing, not his wrath. You know, I need God's forgiveness, not his judgment, though I deserve it. And so let me read a little bit here. Paul says that he's committed to the gospel. He's committed to preach it. It's the power of God to salvation. Why? Verse 18, in other words, in light of all this, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. H-O-L-D, the word hold, is really the word suppress. God's anger and God's wrath is manifested against those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And I want to say this, and Bert, I'll throw it to you. Somebody might say, well, what have I done to suppress the truth? Well, if you know about Jesus, have you come to Jesus? If not, why not? And I think about those that call moral preaching hate speech or something like that. Those that, you know, Christ is the one and only Savior. Well, then we need to say that to people. Bert, when we know the truth, and it's a great, great blessing to have been exposed to truth, we are supposed to receive it, live it, proclaim it. We're not supposed to ignore it, hold it back, or suppress it, are we?
We are not. Now, I could not help but think in the great hymn that the Gettys wrote in Christ Alone, when it says the wrath of God is revealed in that song, I love it. And I remember interviewing them, Alex, and we made note of them having this in the song. The wrath of God was satisfied. And there were people that wanted to say, oh, that's, well, let me just say what you just said. That's hate speech. No, it's the truth. And they refused to take it out. They said, no, we stand on the word of God. And here it is. The wrath of God is revealed. Notice what it is. Ungodliness and unrighteousness. And they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress. They know the truth. When they knew the truth, they denied the truth. Now listen to this in verse 19, because each one of these verses adds on to what the other verse says. And this is what good Bible study does for you. You don't just read that one verse. Oh, it will stand on its own, but it's amplified when you put them together. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God, listen to this, has shown it to them. That's why you go down to verse 20, they are without excuse, and he'll add to that as well. For God has shown it to them. Now, Alex, it's been revealed, and we're going to get to that, and we're going to put this creation and conscience in there being revealed. And here's verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Now, who are they? Those that suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, Alex, when they received the truth, they denied the truth. They turned away from the truth. And I just want to say, Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. And when you deny truth, a truth and the truth of God, listen, you're jumping into a pit, and it goes deeper. And this pit that we're about to talk about in verses 24 through the rest of it is they dig their ditch and pit deeper and deeper as they try to deny the truth of who God is. Again, I think verses 18 through 20 really sets it up into verse 21, and it starts out in verse 21, because. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Here it is. This is what they're doing. This is what God is doing. It is the wrath of God is being revealed because they've done this, because they've done this. And he continues building that case and trying to get the Romans to understand, again, I think two things, what God has done for them, because that's what he's talked about in verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation. Listen, here is stating the case. Why? You don't need to be ashamed, Romans. Why we don't need to be ashamed that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and you cannot come to God except through him. So he makes his case real, real strong, doesn't he?
He really does. It's very powerful. And folks, if we're, you know, kind of plowing deeply through this, it's because this is so rich.
It is.
People ask, how do you know God exists? Well, because he has shown us. God reveals himself to the human race, and God is a revelatory God. He has shown us that he is there. In fact, the final chapter in his book is Revelation, because God is a God who has disclosed many things. Now, let me read Romans 1:20, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. People know it. It says, God hath showed it unto them. Look, every atheist, everybody that wants to procrastinate and, push Christ away at arm's length, no, deep inside, God says he has shown himself. And Bert, I think everybody in their heart of hearts knows about God.
Amen.
Now, when we get back, I want to get into verse 20, because there's something in here that I think is just an amazing construction of words.
I agree with you, Alex. Let me say this before we go out. When we come back, it's going to be a little longer introduction. We had the death of one of God's great singers, and we're going to recognize that. But be ready to hear a great song when we come back.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
Sunday.
Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Alex, Squire Parsons wrote that song, sung that song, and he's in that Beulah land today, brother. Amen.
He really is. He really is. I want to tell you something. When I got saved at Macedonia Baptist in Southeast Greensboro, North Carolina, there was a brother, Gary Hill. He was a great, great singer, and he's in heaven now, but he sang that song. I'd never heard it before, and I just thought, man, what a beautiful melody. So Angie and I get married. We go to Liberty University, and Squire Parsons came to sing. And we went. This was 1989, and we went to hear him. He was phenomenal, incredible voice, and, of course, that was his signature song that he wrote. And so I got a cassette tape, if you remember those.
Yeah.
And I got him to sign it for Gary Hill, and I took it to Gary. But the word Beulah, incidentally, which is found only one time in the Bible, I think this is worth talking about. And it's spelled B-E-U-L-A-H. It's in Isaiah 62, verse 4, the only time in the Bible. And when I saw Squire Parsons, he explained this. It's talking about Israel and the land they've been promised and the relationship with God that they've been promised. And it says, thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land called Beulah, Beulah land. For the Lord delights in thee. The land shall be married. And so Hephzibah means my delight is in her, and Beulah land means married land. Now, what does that have to do with you and me? Well, Galatians 6:16 says that the church, saved by Jesus, wedded to Christ, headed to heaven, we are the bride of Christ, the Israel of God. And Beulah land is the place we'll be, the land of the married betrothal, betrothed to Jesus, the bridegroom. And so Squire Parsons, when he had read that verse, that Isaiah 62, 4, he was moved to write just what was one of the greatest gospel songs of our lifetime, I think, Bert.
I agree with you, and amen. We hope you enjoyed that. We, when Brent, texted that to us today, and I said, okay, Brent, how about lining it up so we can hear it? And most of the time, we cut songs off, but we wanted to hear that one all the way through. Thank you, Brent, for doing that for us. And, and I want to go back to verse 16 because this is what we're talking about. Paul is writing to the church about the power of God for salvation. But what that means is the power over sin. And that song, Beulah Land, is talking about God's deliverance, not only from, but to. I hope everyone listening understands that God's not just wanting to deliver you from, which is awesome. That's beyond anything. But he also delivers us to. He delivers us to a peace. He delivers us to a relationship, and it's with Christ. Now, what is this he delivers us from? The wrath of God. We've talked about in verses 18 and 19. And then we come to verse 20. And Alex, you were wanting to set this up. At the end, we've already said, so that they are without excuse. And but it shows you how deep our sin can go. And I'll say one more thing, and you take it away. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay and keep you longer than you want to stay. Now, I don't know the first person that coined those, but it is true. And I think what you see in Romans 1, 18 through chapter 2, verse all the way through 29 shows you what sin can do. And I just want to tell everyone who's listening, don't remain in your sin. Come to Jesus Christ, be forgiven, and become that new creation in Christ that sets you on a different trajectory rather than downward, it's upward. Alex, we've got a great Savior, don't we?
We do, and everybody knows God is real. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, the vast universe, the creation, had to have a creator. Things die and they decay, but things with life are all derivative. Where did we get our life? From God, who must be the foundation of life. So throughout history, Bert, people have reasoned through these things. My conscience, there's a moral law that I'm aware of. It must have come from a moral lawgiver. This is God. Now, Bert, in my Bible, Romans 1:20, it ends, those that ignore God's revelation of himself, it says, they are without excuse. Now, how does yours read?
Same way, and that's exactly what it is. They're without excuse. I want to set this up and throw it back to you. Remember all those times when Jesus told the parable about giving a banquet, and he sent people out to invite them, and they all had an excuse? Listen, don't give any excuse. There's no excuse worthy of turning away Jesus Christ. Take it away.
Well, this is going to be interesting, I think, because the word translated in the English excuse is a variant of the word apologetic, but there's a Greek prefix, an. Now, an apologetic means not an apologetic. Now, if you've listened to me much, you know, like 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an answer and a defense of your faith. That's the word apologetic. So, we are to defend the faith, but when it says people that reject God have no excuse, they have no defense. They can't justify their unbelief. See, here's the thing, Bert. We've had atheists email us and call in, and they'll say, you know, why is this and that? You know, the skeptical world thinks God has no defense, but in reality, God does have a defense. And we lost people have no defense. I mean, there is no excuse. There's no apologetic. There's no way to legitimize living and dying without addressing the God who all your life has been calling out to you.
Alex, when you finish that there, without, they have no defense, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Now, I want to just tell you, how did they know God? We've talked about it, conscience, creation. They try to find something. Okay, because if there's a creator, there's this God, they have no defense of him, that means they're accountable. And man, many times in their rebellion, and it's cause of pride, I don't want accountability. If you look at Lucifer in Isaiah and Ezekiel, when it talked about what he was going to do and lifting up his throne above God's throne, it was the issue of pride. I don't want to be accountable to you, God. I want to be my own. I want to be accountable to myself and myself only. So this is what they're doing here. They knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God because there's so many reasons. And when you don't glorify him, you're not thankful. You become futile, empty in your thoughts, and your foolish heart was darkened. Look how horrible this is, Alex. If you don't glorify him when you know him, you become unthankful, which leads to futility, which leads to foolishness and even darkness. It's a vicious, vicious cycle, isn't it?
Well, you know, you and I have talked about what I call the downward slide of a Christless culture. And notice this, verse 21, they did not glorify him as God, neither were they thankful. And Bert, I think ingratitude is the start of a lot of much, much worse things. And let me just say this, I've counseled with teenagers, you know, parents and families, and they're having problems with their teens. And I've heard, you know, 18-year-old boys say, well, I didn't ask to be born. I don't even want to be here. Well, yeah, but a sovereign God gave you life. We need to be grateful for life. I mean, not only should we not disrespect our parents or, you know, throw off on our situation, because really all of life, even the hard things and the challenging and the stressful things, what all of life is about is conforming to God's plan, and then we grow. And yeah, I mean, when we trust God and we discipline ourselves and we do the right thing, even if it's not the easy thing, there's blessing in that, and we grow. And Bert,
hey, Jesus saves us from our sin. If we'll let him, Jesus will save us from ourself and our big fat attitude. And I always cringe whenever some kid says to me, well, I didn't ask to be born. All right, be grateful for life. You know, God's world could have done just fine without any of us. And yet, the dear Lord gave us life.
Amen.
And Hallelujah. We should be grateful for it, you know?
Preach it, brother. Amen, Alex. Notice the rest of that, became futile in their thoughts. Now, again, if I understand this word futile, it's, you know, nothing there. Have you ever heard somebody say they're empty-headed? This is empty-headed thinking. You catch what I'm saying? Here's the evidence. It's great evidence. As we've said before, there's holes in Darwinian evolution all the way through, a hole here, a hole there. When you look at God's creation, there are some things we don't know about. I understand that. I understand some of those things, but there's no holes in it. It is consistent that God, in the beginning, God, he's the one that made us. There's no holes in that thought of creation. There is in Darwinian evolution. They became futile in their thoughts. In other words, they start defending their empty-headedness. I'm saying that. And their foolish heart was darkened. In other words, that attitude, the heart is mind, will, and emotions. It was downward. And then I want to get to verse 22, and you may want to come back here. We hadn't got but just a minute. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Alex, when you don't glorify God and when you don't thank God, you're going down a foolish track, aren't you?
Well, you really are. You mentioned evolution. I was teaching on that earlier this morning. And by the way, let me just say, I've had people say to me that, you know, they didn't believe the Bible, but they believed Darwin or evolution. Hey, there was a man named Karl Popper. He was a friend of Einstein, and he was one of the great scientists of the 20th century. And Karl Popper said, evolution is not science, it's superstition.
Way to go.
That's true, isn't it?
It is. Hey, it's a day of prayer. That number, 888-589-8840. Call in your prayer request. We'd love to hear it and pray for you today.
In Denver, Colorado, Jamie Sanchez obeyed the Lord's call and opened the Drip Cafe to create jobs to help unhoused people get back on their feet. Of course, the LGBTQ community began persecuting him for his Christian beliefs. His inspiring story of standing boldly for God's truth in the face of great opposition is part of our Impact Series, and we'll send you the DVD as our thanks for your gift to AFA. Visit afa.net/spiritualwar. afa.net/spiritualwar.
Don't stop praying. Welcome back to Exploring the Word, Alex and Bert. So honored that you're listening. Hey, just a few things, and the number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. If you have a prayer request today, that's kind of what we focus on Tuesdays. 888-589-8840. Bert, I was just going to mention something. A year from now, well, not a year from now, 10 months from now, you and I are to go to Israel with Tim Wildman. And our wives are going to be there. Angie is coming, and I know you and Jan will be there. And the website of that is Wildman Group Tours, and that's WILDMON, wildmangroup.com. And I know that's a long way off, but pray about that. Come to Israel, and we're going to see the sights of the Bible, and we'll go and walk where Jesus walked. And Bert, I feel like next March in Israel, that's going to be March 10, I believe it's 10 through 18.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a trip of a lifetime, isn't it?
It really is. People ask us, are y'all ever going to take a trip to Israel and host it? Well, this is our opportunity with Tim. We never wanted to say, hey, choose Tim or us. This time it's combined, and Alex and I will take turns in teaching at different locations and sharing And so we'll have a guide that does all that, and Tim and Allison, a host. But as he said, Angie will be there, Jan will be there, our wives, and we're looking forward to it. So be sure and go. Some of you that has asked us, it's time to do that, and we'll really enjoy doing that. Well, Alex, again, I've got a praise. Now, today's prayer day, but, you know, I love praises, too, because God answers prayer. In the office today is one of the guys that helps co-host Exploring the Word. He's been out 2.5 months, nearly 3 months, to be honest, with an illness. But he's back today. Jim Stanley walked into his office today. Alex, amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, he took ill shortly after NRB, and I'm telling you, we were deeply concerned for Jim Stanley. He's just one of the greatest guys ever, has been a huge part of this show ever since day one. Oh, praise the Lord. I rejoice that he's back in the office.
And we're going to get him back on the program as soon as he feels like he's ready. And we're excited about that, and we're just praising God. But anyway, Amen. If you've got a prayer request, that number, 888-589-8840. But another thing we do, and we're going to do this real quickly, on Facebook, Brent has got it open, so you can have your request put on our Facebook, and that way it's seen. Let me give you two real quickly from Facebook, and one that's from Brent himself. Brent calls in and says that his mother is 77 years old in the hospital with severe pneumonia. Her name is Diane, so we want to pray for her. Pray for Diane. We're asking God to do a great job in healing. Also, Kelly called in, and she has a 17-year-old daughter. It's her youngest daughter, and she's had a lot of losses in the last 4 years. And it's really, you know, loss after loss after loss. It feels abandoned, and grief sets in, and you have to handle that grief, and she's dealing with that. It causes Satan to have a foothold, so we don't want depression to take over and anything like that, no bitterness. So please pray that she would be able to come out of this and protection from the enemy. She loves the Lord, so we want her to get all the help she can in Bible study, godly counseling. So be praying for this daughter of Kelly's. We're asking God to do a work. And then the third
one. Do we have her name, Bert?
We do not. She doesn't give her name, but we can go Kelly's. Isn't it good that God knows her name?
Amen.
Have you ever heard that song, God Knows My Name?
God knows our name. And
first time I ever heard it used, Alex, was a little boy, and he was from Uganda, and they were traveling. They were singing at our church. 9 years old, his name was Pius, and Pius sang, "He knows my name." His mom and dad were dead, but he knows my name. Alex, I never forget that. He does know her name, doesn't he?
He does. Well, let me pray for these two. And then the number, if you want to call in with a prayer request, 888-589-8840. Lord, we lift up these names. Diane with pneumonia, we pray for complete healing. Father God, we rejoice over Jim Stanley's return to work. Bless he and Colette. Lord, just keep your hand upon their life and give Jim just complete healing. And I know he'll give you the praise and the glory. And then Kelly's daughter here. The daughter has had a lot of disappointment, a lot of loss. Father, in Jesus' name, Kelly's daughter, put joy in her soul. Turn her eyes towards you. And Lord, grow her in her walk with you. Let her be a testimony of your power to change lives. And Lord, I know people are concerned. People have all manner of burdens and issues they're thinking about. Lord, help us all to rest in you, who does all things well. And Lord, you are for us. You are with us. May that be our joy in you, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go to Mississippi. Tina, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. Okay, I just wanted to let you know that I listen to y'all's show every day, and it is such a blessing. But my mother, she was diagnosed with multiple myeloma in December. She's doing excellent, I mean, and tomorrow she will turn 81. But we had a doctor's visit today, and It's beginning to spike just a little bit, but right now we're still on preventative medicine. I know the Lord can touch her and heal her. We just want all the prayers to go up that we can get for her.
Okay, Tina, we will. Two more to add to that, Alex, and then I'll pray. We've got calls coming in. One is from Brent, our producer. Landon's son, his grandmother is 93 years old in the hospital after a fall and is not expected to live much longer, so they want her home going to be one that she can just go out praising the Lord. So we're praying for that, and we're asking also for Sean. And Sean was prayer. He was praying and started a new relationship with his daughter, and sometimes that's, I know we've got some people here in our workplace that, you know, after some strained issues, they start a new relationship. So we're praying for Sean and his daughter. So let's do that, and then we'll go to more prayer requests. Father, we pray for Tina's mother right now, God. Just she's had difficulty, but they can see some things progressing, and we're praying for that. We're praying again that you might be with Miss Wilma Chittum, this 93-year-old saint that knows you. And I pray, Father, you would be with her, her family, as they wait with her for her home going. And, Father, we're praying for Sean and his daughter and that relationship to begin to be strong. And Father, that you would get the glory. God, that's the ultimate goal. And what we've studied today in Romans, glorify you. And I pray, Father, in all these, you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Alex, amen. Isn't that the ultimate aim, that God would be glorified in our lives, whatever comes our way?
You know what John the Baptist said? He must increase, but I must decrease.
Amen. Well, let's go to Israel, not the nation of Israel, but the person named Israel in Louisiana. Israel, thank you for calling.
Hi there.
Go right ahead.
I'm calling to request prayer for my grandma and my mom. My grandma got hospitalized. She's been in the hospital for like a week in the emergency room. They don't really know what's going on, but she has a lot of ailments. And I'm requesting prayer for her and my mom, which has been taking care of her.
Oh, yeah. Let me just share this, and it's hope for the caregiver. Alex, I know this. I saw it with my mom and my dad. My dad had dementia, and it was hard, and my mother was the main caregiver, and it can wear, being a caregiver can wear you out, and it's difficult. So we want to pray for Israel's mom as she takes care of his grandmother as well. We really do. Let's get one more, and then we'll combine these. It helps to do that. That way we'll know. We'll go to Tennessee and talk to Barbara. Barbara, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I just asked for prayer for my sister, please. Her husband had went into the hospital for an ablation, and the doctors punctured his heart, and he bled to death May 1st.
Oh, man.
And her name is Harlene. And also, if you will, continue to keep me in prayer as well. My husband died a year ago this month, and my brother died 2 months after that. So it's been a hard month.
Barbara, it does. I just want to share. Alex, have you seen, it's not necessarily a truth, but it seems like difficulties do come in bunches, don't they?
It seems that way. It seems that way. And, you know, just as Sunday I was reading about how God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And we think we're at our breaking point, and yet Christ holds us together. I mean, he really does, you know. And so, but I understand, and let me say a brief prayer here. Father God, there are loved ones that have passed, and then more loved ones pass, and there are physical situations, and there are concerns about health and health care and finances. And Lord, I just pray that, because the Bible says you are the Spirit of peace. And Lord, you give us peace that passes all understanding. And so, Lord, all of us, myself included, help us all to rest in you. Because we're not to be afraid. 366 times the Bible says, fear not. So I just pray for blessing, for your guidance, your intervention, and that all of us, no matter where we are in the journey, that we would keep our lives in your hands, because you are the Lord of all. And Lord, you never fail us. So may we trust in that. And may we glorify you by trusting you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank y'all for calling. Well, yesterday we didn't get to Tatum from Alabama, and he's called back. And I told him if he had called back, we'd be sure and get to him. Tatum, thank you for calling, Exploring the Word.
Thank you.
Okay, what's your question?
Why is God's Word in the New Testament not in red like Jesus' is in the New Testament?
How about that, Alex? Why is it God's Word's red in the Old Testament? That's a good question. Tatum may have a good idea. Tatum, you might be ready to do that for us. Go ahead, Alex.
Do you know, I saw a Bible that even in the Old Testament, all the words of God were in red. Now, the red letter Bible, all the words of Jesus Christ in the New Testament are in red ink. In my Bible, they are, because he shed his blood for us. And the red ink, I think, is pointing us to the one who shed his red blood for our redemption. But, Bert, I did see, and I don't remember who published it, but I saw a red letter Bible once where all the words of God were in red. And I like that because, you know, the Bible does contain the words of man, but they're really all the words of God, aren't they?
They really are. Tatum, how old are you?
11.
11. Man, wow. Keep it up, brother. That's an awesome question for you. And you're probably computer savvy. All of my grandkids, it's younger, they know more about it than I do. You might find out what that Bible was that Alex read, that it may be already, and you might could find out where it is, and you might could order it. So
Tatum, I just want to say a big, big thank you for listening to the show. I mean, it really means the world to us. Thank you. And if Mr. Brent could get if your parents give permission, I want to send you one of our books. Bert and I did a couple of books of Bible study, 100 Bible questions, and I sure would like to put one of those in the mail to you. So may we do that, Bert?
Let's do that. Put Tatum on hold so Will can talk to him and get that information, and we'll get you mailing address. Tatum,
if mom and dad are okay with it.
Yeah, they need to be okay with it. Thank you, Alex, for that. If they were all right for him calling, I bet they're all right with that. That's just an opinion. So thank you, man. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Ann. Ann, thank you for calling.
Yes, hi.
Go right ahead.
I have a prayer request.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a prayer request, please. I have a son named Brad. He's 45. Neither he or his wife or my grandson are saved, and I've been praying for many years. So, and also my son has issues with alcohol.
Okay.
So that's my request.
Well, even Sunday when I was talking to someone that where I'm preaching, and I knew they were at the altar, and after the message I preached, I knew it was in pain, and it was a son that's not saved yet. So we want to remember Ann's son, Brad, his wife and grandson. And Alex, would you mind praying?
Let's do that. Lord Jesus, we come, and the Bible says you are long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. The Bible promises where two or three gather in your name, you're in the midst. And Lord, when we agree in prayer that is according to your will, and we pray in Jesus' name, you will do it. So, Lord, I am confident that this 45-year-old son is going to get saved. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would keep him alive physically till he would be born spiritually. Break the desire for alcohol. Let it just be repulsive so that he would not want to touch alcohol. But he, his wife, children, the family will come to you. Lord Jesus, bring fruit to this dear mother's prayers, and that being her whole family would know you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for how you will undertake and do this. For your glory, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dale from Indiana couldn't get to your call, but we're praying for your cousin Tim. We really are. Michael from Georgia, you got a great question. Call us back. We'd love to get to it tomorrow. That's a great question. So we want to do that. Thank everyone for listening to Exploring the Word here on this special day. and Squire Parsons in Beulah Land, hallelujah. Make sure you're ready when that time comes that you will be in heaven with Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.